Can we honor the Lord in this place? Can we give him praise this morning? Yeah. Awesome. Don't you love in Mackay how we experience two seasons? It's summer out there and it's winter in here. Anyone else feel cold in here? Hence the jacket. But it's good, it's good. It's great to have some cool weather. Good morning, you doing well? Yeah. Doing well. Great. Well, this morning I want to share about the goodness of God. And then I want us to move back into a time of worship. And so I really don't want to spend too long here. I'd love us to have an opportunity to worship and, you know, allow Holy Spirit to move in this place. Are we excited about that? We're a Spirit-filled church, aren't we? Yeah. So why don't we open our Bibles to Psalm 27? If you've got your Bible, you can turn to it. If not, it'll be on the screen. Psalm 27. And then we're going to pray first before we read. So why don't we close our eyes, bow our heads. Let's just turn our gaze to the Lord, be sensitive of what he's doing in this place. God, we thank you that your presence is here, that we gather around you, Lord, and your word. We say, speak to us this morning, God. We behold you, we exalt you, we lift your name on high. Lord, we pray for open hearts, open eyes, open ears, God, that we would know you in a deeper, greater way when we leave this morning. We surrender this space to you, God. Have your way. Have your way in Jesus' name. Can we all say together, amen. Amen. This is my first time sharing from this, and it feels kind of cool, feels kind of weird. Feel closer to you, which is good. So Psalm 27:13, let's read it together. This is the New King James Version. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I might just move this back just a touch. I'm just going to read it again. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. There's another translation that says, yet I am confident I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land that I am living in. Love that. Psalm 27. And this morning, I want to briefly share three statements, declarations, points with you about the goodness of God. And these are three things that I say most days, that I declare most days, to remind myself about the goodness of God. Because who knows, sometimes we need to remind our brains about how good God has been and how much he has done for us. We can so easily forget. And so the first declaration, the first statement is God is good. God is good. And this Bible, who's got a physical Bible in the room? Yes. Doesn't mean we're more holy, but I like my physical Bible. Yeah, we think we are, but we're not. Who's got an electronic Bible this morning? Yeah, oh, that's the majority. We definitely aren't the most holy. This Bible is full of God's goodness from start to finish. It shows that he is our creator, our father. He is our healer. He rescues, he restores, he resurrects. He brings hope, he brings life. Full of his goodness. And I just love that anything that is barren, dead or dry cannot stay that way when God touches his hand on it, when he breathes on it. It can't remain the same because he is good. God is good. That's the first declaration that I say in the morning. God is good. And in English grammar, there's a complex sentence, if we can get that slide up. And you might be thinking, what does English grammar have to do with God's goodness? Stay with me. We'll get there. So on the screens, we've got a sentence. This is a complex sentence. So it says, they are a good person because they give to the poor. So we have an independent clause and then a dependent clause. And when it comes to God, he is a complete sentence. God is good. It's not God is good because. It's just God is good. And sometimes we can think we have to put a because on it. God is good because. He is actually good independent of our circumstances. His goodness has nothing to do with what's going on in our life. We see his goodness in the land of the living, but we first need to remember he's good, and that's just who he is. It's in the Bible. So on a bad day, he's good, independent of my circumstances. He is good. Let's turn to Lamentations 3, verse 19. I'll turn there with you. It will be on the screen. I cheated and put a tab. Yes. It was like it'll take me too long to actually turn there. So Lamentations 3:19. It says this: the thought of my suffering and homelessness is bitter beyond words. I will never forget this awful time as I grieve over my loss. Yet I still dare to hope when I remember this. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. Hallelujah. I say to myself, the Lord is my inheritance. Therefore, I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who depend on him, to those who search for him. I love that. In the midst of trials, in the midst of challenges, he is good to those who depend on him and search for him. His goodness is independent of what we go through. But as we turn our gaze to who he is and his goodness, in the midst of trial and suffering, we experience his goodness because we're searching for it and we're hoping on him. I love that. And verse 25 says, yeah, the Lord is good to those who depend on him, those who search for him. So I have to ask myself, am I searching for him and am I depending on him? If I feel like I can't see his goodness, if I need to remind my brain of his goodness. He is a good God. And last week I went to a conference and I saw his goodness throughout the whole weekend, personally, corporately, and there was some beautiful testimonies that took place. There was a spot where an MC got up and he said, you know, I just really feel that God wants to heal deafness of ears because he's a good God and healing is his portion. And so it was a very quick space. It was just, you know, like Pastor Rob getting up in that space. He just said, hey, turn to, if you've got, you know, deafness in your ear, put your hand up, lay hands on each other. And later on in the conference that night, this woman got up and shared a testimony and she said, 7 years ago, I had an accident and I lost hearing in my right ear and to the point where I had no, like a loss of bone cartilage in my ear. And that's what showed that was my hearing loss. And she said, instantly, my hearing was restored when we prayed. Can we celebrate God's goodness? Instantly, the bone cartilage grew. That doesn't make sense in the natural. There was another woman. Later on, the pastor was sharing and he said, I see something black in the left abdomen and I feel, I don't know if it's a tumor or what it is, but there's something. And this lady came down the front and she said in 1991, because previously he had said, I feel like there's accidents from years ago that God wants to heal injuries of. And she came down the front, she said in 1991, I had an accident and this is a machine and there's wires that go through my body to my neck because I can't move it and it helps with the pain. And they said, well, does it actually help with the pain? No, not really. Not really at all. And when they said, all right, turn to each other, lay hands, let's pray, she felt a tug and she could instantly move her neck. She hasn't been able to move her neck since 1991. 35 years, if my math is mathing. 35 years. And I just saw the goodness of God. Not that a testimony is a measure of his goodness. That's an evidence of his goodness. And so the second thing I want to say is God is good to me. That's the second thing that I declare in the morning. I say God is good and God is good to me. And that reminds me that he is good to me, because I also got healed over that conference. I had a car accident in 2023 and I fractured my left thumb. And I feel like there was more to it, because it was affecting me for the last 3 years, on and off, you know, texting. What an issue, it hurts. No, it's true. But whenever I used it, I would feel pain. And I don't know if there's people in here, but sometimes you have an injury or something and you just learn to live with it. And you just learn to live with the pain. And that was me. It was annoying and it was frustrating, but I kind of just dismissed it. And when he said accidents from years ago, I was like, all right, I'm going after this. I'm going to believe in faith that God is good to me. And so the lady next to me prayed, and the pain was 7, and then it went down to 1. And I was like, praise the Lord. It wasn't fully healed. And then the next day it felt a bit better. And the day after, fully healed. I have not had an issue with it since. God is good to me. God is good to you. But can we be honest with each other? Sometimes we can start to forget that God is good to us, because we can see others getting answers to prayer that we've been praying for many years. And I know there would be people in this room that are still waiting on healing, and that you've been praying for a number of years. You're still waiting on a promise that God's given you maybe 7 years ago, 10 years ago. And it can be easy to feel that God's overlooked us. It can be easy to think, does God forget where I live? Do I need to remind him of my postcode and my address? How come everyone else is getting blessed, but I'm not seeing that? When in actual fact, like I said before, when we see answer to prayer, that is the evidence of his goodness, but it's not the measure of his goodness. And I can start to measure his goodness on whether I'm getting a yes or a no in a prayer. And this way of thinking is actually an orphan mentality. It's a mentality of, you know, I'm forgotten, you know, I'm not as loved. God has favorites, I'm not his favorite. When in actual fact, the word of God in Philippians 3:20 says, but we are citizens of heaven where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we are eagerly waiting for him to return as our savior. 1 Peter 2:9 says, you are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. He is good to me. I'm a citizen of heaven. I'm an adopted son or daughter. Therefore, I have full access to him. He hasn't forgotten me. He hasn't overlooked me. It's his perfect timing. This isn't waiting on the promise, waiting on an answer to prayer. This isn't a measure of his goodness. He is good, independent of our circumstances. That was God is good. God is good to me. And the fact that we're saved from sin shows that he is a good God and he is good to us, right? When we have an adoption perspective, we can walk confidently when we haven't seen answer to prayer yet, because we're fixing our gaze on him and his goodness, and we're walking out. I would have lost heart had I not believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, because what he does for one, he does for another. And so instead of holding on to an orphan spirit, and I speak to myself in this, and maybe you guys are just all along the journey with me. But instead of having an orphan spirit where I'm seeing God bless here, there, everywhere, I'm still waiting on dreams that he's given me from 7, 10 years ago. Instead of turning and going, God, why not me? You've forgotten me. I look over here and I celebrate his goodness, because what he does for one, he does for another. I see a healing over here that maybe I haven't experienced, and I celebrate his goodness, because what he does for one, he does for another. And I see where I've been praying for a financial blessing or breakthrough, and then I see someone hand an envelope of money to someone else, I celebrate his goodness. Because what he does for one, he does for another. Coming out of that orphan mentality that he defeated at the cross. When he died on the cross and I accepted Jesus into my heart, I stepped in to all that he has for me. So how dare I hold on to something that he defeated? How dare I operate in an orphan mentality when this says that I'm a citizen of heaven and you are all citizens of heaven? God is good. God is good to me. Declarations. If we start to feel anything else, we're human, we can start to feel, Lord, I'm still waiting. I'm a citizen of heaven, but I'm still waiting. Sometimes it's with clenched teeth. I'm still waiting. If I start to feel anything else, if I start to feel sadness creep in or a little bit of jealousy, because let's be honest, that can happen. We're human. That's when I need to know. I need to go away into my prayer closet. I need to say, I would have lost heart had I not believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. What you do for one, you do for another. Your promises are yes and amen. You give the yes, I give the amen. I'm going to boldly walk it out as a daughter of heaven, as a citizen of heaven. What he does for one, he does for another. My time is coming. If we start to think any other way than that spirit of adoption, or we take our gaze from his goodness, that's the time to go into the prayer closet and declare, God is good. God is good to me. This is what your word says. It's who you are. And I have access to that. And I don't come into the prayer closet to get the promise. I come in the prayer closet to behold your goodness, to access all you have for me. And then I walk out your dreams. And you're a good God to me. Are you doing okay this morning? The third thing is God is good at being God. God is good, he is good to me, and he is good at being God. This one is important because sometimes we can fall into the trap of thinking that we know better than God. Just me. Sometimes I'll be praying for something and I'll say, if you just did it this way, God, I feel like you could do it this way. I can see it. I can visualize that this person will go here and then this and this, and you know, you could just pay the bill this way. We can start to think that we know better than God. Oh, this person, you know, really should be doing that. Or, yeah, God is good at being God. And he can't put anything in a closed fist. He can't put anything in a closed fist. A few weeks ago, God took me on a journey of showing and reminding me that God is good and he's good at being God. I was preparing for youth. It was the second week of youth. We had a Bible study the first week and it was the second week and we were going to have an encounter night, and I just felt the impression to share some vision and preach a sermon about that. And so I was preparing for the sermon and I had all these scripture and I was seeking God, and at the end I was like, yeah, I feel like this is good, God. Like, look at us go. You know, like we're working together and I've sought you on this, and yeah, I'll speak this word and I'll share vision, and you know, it's a marking of the generation and it's equipping of the generation. We're gathering around your presence, and yes, Lord, you've spoken to me. I'm excited for this. Like, let's do it. And then I started to speak it out because it's so good to do that for flow. I always do that. Picture I'm standing in front of a crowd, not because it's, you know, look at me, but it's like, is it going to flow? It helps. And started to speak it out. And within 5 minutes, I was literally in my closet staring at my shoes. It wasn't people staring back at me. It was my shoes. But don't worry, they're nice shoes. But you're all way more attractive than my shoes. And after about 5 minutes, I stopped and I was like, this is terrible. This is actually the worst, God. This isn't making sense. This isn't landing. And I was like, what have I done wrong? God, this isn't it. No, this is not it. I can't preach this sermon. This is Thursday night. And God gave me a vision. And I was standing in this room down there, and it was just me, and I saw Jesus behind me, and he was going like this, trying to get around me. There was no one else, just me. Easily could have walked around, but he's going like this behind me, and he said, "Move out of my way." And I don't know about you, but when the King of Kings says, "Move out of my way," I move out of the way of the King of Kings. Like, I'm not going to go like this. I'm like, oh, yep. What does that practically look like? I ripped up my sermon notes and I deleted my file because I like being dramatic for God. I'm like, all right, I'll move out of, I'm going to rip my sermon notes. I'm going to delete that file. Came to youth on the Friday in the team meeting, and I ripped up the run sheet and I threw it on the floor. And I was like, I wonder what their reaction will be. I think Angus went, aww, because he completed the run sheet that week. He's like, aww, my work. But instead of gasping, they clapped and cheered. They were like, we're ready to move aside for Jesus. And so we opened our fist and we asked Jesus, what are we doing? What are we not doing? And so we didn't do a game. We didn't do praise. No praise, but that's holy. That's praising his name. That was a closed fist. No praise. We worshipped. We did communion. I shared maybe two scriptures from the Bible for 5 minutes. We had open altars, salvation call, repentance call, and Holy Spirit breakout. Never have I ever seen Holy Spirit move in that place like I've seen before at youth. The hunger of the young people, the repentance, the reconciliation. They didn't want a game. They didn't want praise. They actually wanted to come and encounter the King of Kings. And I was in the way. And so I repented that night. I got on my knees and I said, Lord, I'm sorry for the times that I've led youth with a closed fist. Even what's good and holy can be a closed fist to God because I'm holding on to it too tightly and I'm thinking, this is where you're going. He can't put anything in a closed fist. God is good at being God. And I tell that story not to boast on myself or the team. I tell it to boast upon God, because he's good at being God, and sometimes we're just in his way. It's a moving aside for the King of Kings. There's a marking of the next generation taking place. We've seen in America at SE University, I think it's Southern Eastern University, Southeast University, for a number of days they've had revival breaking out. And that started with repentance of the young adults. And it continued and continued and continued into like 80 hours straight or something. I don't even know if that was where it finished. That was the last time I saw on socials. Just continuous repentance, praise and worship. And it started by young adults coming to the altar and loudly declaring and repenting of their sins and reconciling to God. And so if you're a youth or a young adult in this place, I just want to take a moment to pause on this and say that there's revival in your mouth because of the word of God in your mouth. And as we as a body reconcile and consecrate ourselves to him, he breaks out. It's an open hand. It's not a closed fist because we're repenting and releasing what we thought we had to hold on to. God is good at being God. God is good. God is good to me. God is good at being God. Three things that we can declare. And I'm going to wrap up very quickly. The more I do life with him, the weaker I am. The more I journey. Yeah, great worship team. Thank you. If you could come. The more I do life with him, the more I go on this journey, the weaker I realize I am. You might be thinking, yeah, but you know, all things are possible with Christ who strengthens you. Yes, with Christ who strengthens me. And if, as scripture says, it's not by power or might, but my spirit, then that gives us permission to be weak. And I believe when we do feel weak, it's the beginning of him and the end of us. Because there's an element of, I'm weak, I'm undone for you. It's the end of me and it's the start of him. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, fixing my gaze upon the one that is good. And so if you've felt weak or weary or maybe at the end of your rope, that's the end of you, the beginning of God. Because it says, come to me, all who are weary and weak, and I will give you rest. My burden is light and my yoke is easy. The more I progress, the more I'm up here, I realize God doesn't desire you look at me, you look at him. Whoever's up here, God's desire is that you would look to him, not here. Why don't we stand in this place? Sometimes we can strive for his goodness. Sometimes we can fall into the mistake of we are weak and we're weary, but we're striving for his presence or his strength. And we're trying to manufacture what is good and holy with a closed fist when he gives us permission to be weak, to come as we are. Two things can be true. I become weak, more weak and more undone for the Lord as I journey through my days with him. Does that make sense? Probably not, but that's realizing I cannot do anything without him. It makes sense to him. Two things are true. The more I know him, the more weak I am and I need him. But then also I'm a daughter of him, I'm a citizen of heaven, and I can boldly enter the throne room because of being an adopted daughter into the kingdom. Two things are true. It's the same for you. You can be weak and weary and you are a son and daughter of him. And this morning, we're going to open up the altar. Coming down isn't going to make you more holy. It's not going to make you more loved. But it can be a sign of surrender. It can be a faith step. It can be business with the Lord, where you're like, you know what, God? I have had a closed fist over my life and I want to open it for you to put what you want in it. Or I am weary and weak and I want to come to you for rest. Maybe you're in this place and you are thinking, I don't know that I know that I know that God is good. Maybe you just want to fan the flame that's dimmed. Like, God, revive me. I want to walk out that you're good to me. And so what we're going to do is we're going to come into a time of worship, maybe about 10 minutes. We're not going to pray for people, but we want you to come because we're a family here. There's no shame. And let me tell you, don't wait. If you're feeling that stirring to come and connect with him, don't wait. Don't look to the person next to you or what we're going to think. There's no shame and guilt in the body. In fact, can we just close our eyes in this place? Because God desires that we as a body would be reconciled to him together, that we would repent together, we would weep together, we would heal together, we would be restored together, we would be consecrated together. And so if you're in this place and you're like, God, I want to step out as a sign of surrender to you. I want to know your goodness. I want to walk it out. I want to believe that you who promise is faithful. Why don't you just come to the altar? Why don't you just come and worship him? Turn your gaze to him, he who is good. I would have lost heart had I not believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. That's all of us in this land. He is a good God. So let's worship and behold him for who he is.
When I consider all the works thy hands have made. I see the stars, I hear the roaring thunder, thy power
close with our gaze to Him. Do we believe it? That He is good in this place. Let's start to declare that on our lips. Let's start to lift His name. Let's start to fix on the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. You might want to start praying in your heavenly language. You might start to want to reconcile to Him. I feel like there's reconciliation in the room. There's repentance and reconciliation. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come upon us. Let your fire fall. Let your healing break out. Let joy be on our lips. Let peace be our anchor. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. I feel like there's people in this place and God is renewing your mind to the word. Your neuro pathways are changing so that you would see yourself as a son or daughter, as a citizen of heaven, no longer an orphan. If that's you in this place and you're like, I've been walking out as an orphan. I want you to put your hand on your head because I feel like there's something that's taking place in this room that he's alighting brains on fire. Holy Spirit, his word is coming and changing the way you think, the way you walk. You are a son or daughter, a citizen of heaven. He defeated the orphan spirit at the cross and you are boldly able to walk out in it because of Jesus, because of the Holy Spirit upon you. Thank you, Lord. Reconciliation, restoration. Lord, it says, if your people humble themselves, oh Lord, that you would heal our land. If we acknowledge our sin, if we repent, Lord, we repent of an orphan spirit at times, God. We break the lie from the enemy that's whispered in our ears that we are orphans. We declare your word that we are a citizen of heaven. There is deep reconciliation taking place right now. Yes, Lord. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Heaven on earth. Heaven on earth. That is your portion. We gather around your goodness, Lord. Heaven on earth. You are good. You are good to us. You are good at being God. Let's just wait a little bit longer on the Lord because I see like stitches in fabric. I see he's stitching up that which was broken, that which was separated away from him. He's stitching it back. All things together for his good. No good thing does he withhold. Stitching together that which was pulled away, that which was broken. His gaze never left you. It's always on you. He is good to you. What he does for one, he does for you. Lord, break that lie. Break that lie off minds that would say, you bless others but not me. Break that lie and exchange it for your truth, Lord. What you do for one, you do for another. You are good to each and every person in this room. I believe that couples that have been trying for children, God's restoring hope and faith. That which is barren, when he breathes life and he touches, life comes. Thank you, Lord. Those that are believing for families, for spouses, for promotions, fix your gaze upon him. His dreams become your dreams. Let's just go back into that song for a little bit longer, and then we'll move on to the baptism.
When he shall come with shouts of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart, and I
adoration, yeah.
before we move on, can we just quickly do one thing? I just saw like the youth and young adults come to my mind. So if you are 25 or under, can you just put your hand up? 25 or under. 25 or under. Can you, if you are around someone with a hand up, can you gather around? Can you lay hands on them? I really feel that the Lord wants to impart something. And we've got our children down on this side. We've got our babes. I would encourage you to go and lay hands on the young, the very young. And let's just start speaking life. Let's just start speaking Holy Spirit. There's deep reconciliation and marking happening in this place. Holy Spirit, I declare over our youth that there's a marking. Holy Spirit, that you're moving, that there is deep reconciliation taking place. Over our young people, that they would dream dreams and see visions, that they would be marked and raised up for the next generation, the next, what you are doing, Lord, in this nation. Bless them, send them out, commission them. Fresh oil, an adoption spirit. Speak life over them, speak truth over them.